Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're talking Jessica Jones, episode 3. We are getting further and further into this wild, sort of messed up story, and also, I mean, some unsettling relationship things going on. But to kind of pick up where we left off last time, Jessica is seeing Luke now, sort of, and still trying to figure out like what to do with this Hope case. Obviously it's a hard case because they're basically trying to prove that a sort of unprovable person is out there making people do things against their own will, and that is just not gonna stand up in comic book court. So having a difficult time with that. Jessica is trying to track down Kilgrave and actually does. She tracks him down, but unfortunately he gets away. We do find out that this is a big one. Jessica actually killed under Kilgrave's control. Killed Luke's wife. So sort of a bummer thing to find out. There's a lot of sort of deep diving into Jessica's past, with these like memories and stuff that kind of pop up throughout this whole season, and definitely season 2, I know, is a lot more heavy on like her past, but we're getting there in this season now. 3 episodes in, we're starting to get a little bit more backstory and a little less what's currently happening, I guess, with Jessica, which is nice because up till now, all we know is that she was like working for Kilgrave. We didn't know what the reason behind it. We didn't know, what did he make her do? We assume he knew she had superpowers, but we don't know. So we're finally like getting a little bit more of that. I will say we do find out a little bit more about Trish and Jess's relationship, as well as like Trish's background, as Patsy. There's a bunch of like little nods to her character in the comics. She talks about her hair used to be red in the comics. Patsy's hair is red. And again, like last episode, we got to see her do some of her Krav Maga. So we're seeing her as kind of like this more, badass character. She's out there fighting too. And I know that kind of like takes off on its own, in this season. But it's interesting to get like a almost another lead in the show where, you know, you kind of think of her as a side character or like a supporting character. But as I'm pretty sure it's this season, not next season, as the season like progresses, she kind of takes on like a bigger role and becomes more of almost like a, I mean, we have like whole episodes where like half the episode is just what she's doing. Like not even what Jess is doing. So interesting to see that start to kind of like take off in this episode. We get another kind of pull into this. Anyone could be the killer. Anyone could be under control. We have a cop that's not 100% sure if he's going to let Trish in, and she's able to get in. And it's kind of like, we don't know. Again, we don't know who could be under control. And they kind of put it in a place where like, you almost think that maybe Trish could potentially be under control sometimes, not the whole time, but sometimes. There's like an air of, is she doing this because she wants to, or is she doing this because there's some sort of like ulterior motive in the background? And that's the kind of like icky thing that happens throughout this whole season with a lot of people. So I guess with that quick sort of rundown of the episode, first thoughts, Elisa?
Well, so yeah, we are getting some interesting, but also disturbing relationship stuff here between Jessica and Luke, partly, like you said, because even though they do seem to be clicking with each other, they've got things in common, she's keeping this massive secret from him. She realizes what she's done. And also them talking to each other revealed some interesting stuff about their powers, because Jessica, they were talking about how they got them, and Jessica said hers was an accident. And that makes me curious because I have not read the comics, and I also have never finished the series. Back whenever it came out, I watched the first episode and got scared and turned it off, and I did not keep watching the show. So I'm experiencing this for the first time. So I'm like, accident? Like a fallen into a tub of radioactive waste accident? Or I have no idea. I'm stuck here. But
yeah,
they're sharing this stuff with each other.
Yeah, and on that note, we also kind of get this sense that like, so we sort of see that Jessica like has this realization, right? Mm-hmm. But also potentially leads to like the reason she's been stalking him and taking so many photos of him. Do you think it could be that like part of her knew that there was like something connecting them? She just couldn't remember what it was. And then she found out what it was and was like, oh no.
Oh dang. Yeah. I thought we were just soulmates.
So that's interesting, but also like why did Kilgrave have her killed?
We don't know.
Yeah. Was it, do we think it was like, did she know about his power and she was going to like tell people, or was it an accident?
Was she just in their way? Was he testing Jessica? What was it?
Which, like, I mean, the show's kind of messed up. I could see it be some sort of, like, him just seeing how far he could push Jessica and be like, hey, go kill mm-hmm. that woman.
Yeah, because in that scene, that flashback scene, we see Jessica's able to resist him mm-hmm. for a while. And it is possibly because she is so strong. She is, like, she puts it, gifted. Mm. And that's possibly why he's so obsessed with her, is because he can have this kind of power over her, but she's also not just his puppet. And so I think that he's interested in that kind of challenge because he's a sick, sick weirdo. Right.
Scary, gross, bad guy. We do get a reference to the movies in this episode, which this is mm-hmm. back when they were trying their hardest to have some sort of thread that tied these shows to the movies. But they talk about the time the city was destroyed by aliens, and they talk about the green dude. So I know last week we talked about wanting She-Hulk in this series, and funnily enough, now they're referencing the Hulk, which I don't think ever comes up again in this whole series. I don't think any of, I think this may have been it. Like, they mentioned the city being attacked by aliens, they mentioned Hulk, and then no MCU thing was ever mentioned ever again. Because they, much like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which did the exact same thing, right? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out, I think, in like the second episode or even the first episode of the first season. They like show clips of the Battle of New York. Mm-hmm. And then it is never talked about again. So,
wasn't it okay? I might be misremembering this, but I feel like back in the day, they like Marvel started kind of telling the TV shows to back off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't have too much continuity with our movies because we don't want our movies to have to go and watch your TV shows to find out what else is going on.
Yes.
So it could be that they're trying to make those connections like there, but they're very, very tenuous. So it's like, yeah, this is in the same universe.
Sort of.
But.
But a parallel universe. Yeah, well, that the thing that blows my mind with that is these I could understand, right? Like, these were like a branch off thing, some like side deal with Netflix, whatever, I get it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was literally made because of the movies to follow, because everyone liked Coulson so much. They were like, oh, he's not dead. He's still alive. He went to Tahiti. And then they were like, nah, never mind. No, he's dead. Forget it. We're never going to talk about him again. And the movies never mentioned Coulson ever again, I don't think.
Which makes me sad. I loved Agent Coulson.
Yeah, he was the best. But in the show, it was like they talked about the movies for like the whole first season, I think. Or like at least made references to the movies. I know that like... I guess I was wrong, because I think in season 3, it was right after Winter Soldier. Not Winter Soldier. What's...
One of my good friends watched it, and I remember her telling me that one of the seasons was really, really closely like connected to Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it was like right after the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., because like the season starts and they're like on one of the downed helicarriers, I think. And so it's like, oh, you're here. You are like, did you forget that the last two seasons you didn't mention the movies at all? And now you guys are trying to be like, yeah, the movies happen in this universe too. So I don't know. There's just a weird, like, if you don't want them to be related, just say it from the beginning. Like, hey, don't mention the movies, instead of having them mention the movies and then somehow drift apart and never talk again.
Yeah. I guess the problem is that we love continuity so much.
Yeah.
That's why everybody's screaming and losing their mind whenever Daredevil popped up in Spider-Man No Way Home. It's because we're like, yes, canon.
Right. But now we're like, is it though? Is it canon? I'm still not 100% sure.
Is this a parallel Daredevil?
Yeah. Parallel. And is this like... I don't know. Is this Jessica Jones the Jessica Jones we're going to get in Daredevil? Because, well, actually, I don't know. Did she? No, she signed on, right?
Wait, hang on. Is she? Are they in Thunderbolts? Did I make that up?
Maybe. I feel like all of them but Luke Cage and Danny Rand, I think, are the last two of these Netflix series that they're waiting, or we as fans are waiting to see if they've been cast or not. Actors in Marvel.
We interrupt this podcast for a brief research break.
We need to know. Because I know there was like a list that came out of like all of the ones that had signed on with Marvel to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Charlie and Vincent, we know. Yes, Kristen Ritter We'll be back as Jessica Jones. My favorite, John Bernthal, coming back as the Punisher. Great cast. I don't know. This still kind of says, this seems like a fan idea. That there will be, so there will be a Heroes for Hire Marvel Disney Plus Bang. Series. So that will be Luke Cage and Iron Fist. They're not sure if the two actors are going to come back, if we're going to get Mike Coulter or Finn Jones to reprise those roles. I mean, if you're getting everybody else, like, unless they just don't want to, like, which, like, why wouldn't you want to? It's MCU. Yeah.
Sounds like a better deal. Like, you're going to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Probably not having to do as much scary stuff. Also, just a side note that I don't want to leave before I forget about it. Okay, so in our last episode about Jessica Jones, I mentioned that there are lots of nice things where David Tennant's not a creep, where you can also see him. And on the subject of Kristen Ritter, I know everybody knows her from Breaking Bad. And of course, she was very good in that show. But she's also in one of my favorite shows of all time, which is Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
I was just
where she plays a stone cold psychopath. And I love her.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
I had only watched like a couple episodes of that show before Jessica Jones came out. So like I knew that was like the only other thing that I could probably like point to her and be like, ah, she's in that. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, like, did they watch that? Like, I know casting is like a whole beast of its own. You know, some people are cast because of the way they look. Some people are cast because of their acting abilities. Some people are typecast. I want to know, like, was that ever in consideration when they were casting her for this role? Because, like, she's a little bit more like one note, but not in like a negative one note. She's just very like flat, I guess.
She's like old school detective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And very different than her role.
There is no Venn diagram between these two characters, except they look alike.
Right. So it was like, I wonder if they like saw that and were like, can you bring a little energy, like a little of that energy into this character? And then she didn't. And then they were like, never mind, it's great. Or were they like, hey, remember that character you played? Do the complete opposite of that.
Maybe it's that they saw that and Breaking Bad and were like, okay, so we've got some range here. Two very different characters there. Maybe we can get her to do a very different character here.
I mean, it worked. Whatever it was, it worked. She nails Jessica Jones.
Super talented.
Speaking of actors and actresses, so I wanted to talk really quick about Patsy, who is Trish Walker, is technically her name, but she's the star of Patsy. And there's like a side story, I guess, right, with her throughout this, where we're seeing her, spoiler alert, work her way into the Hellcat role. And her part of her like struggle, right? Like Jessica's struggle is with this past abusive relationship with Kilgrave, whereas Trish's story is kind of this like past abusive relationship with her mother and with being like a child celebrity. And in the comics, so like I've only read a couple Jessica Jones comics. I've never read any Hellcat stuff, but there's a little crossover with Patsy and Jessica Jones stuff. So I kind of did a little digging and found out that in the comics, her beef with her mom in the show, her beef with her mom is like that, you know, she basically like forces her to do all of these like talk shows and TV shows and movie deals and stuff. And it was kind of just like this not great childhood. And she's like still trying to do it, right? Like in the show, she's like still trying to sort of control her, but also control her so that she can just be like a famous kid's mom. In the comics, she actually promises her soul to Satan. And that's how basically Trish gets to become famous, is that her mom sells her soul to the devil so that Trish can be famous. So very different.
Yeah.
But it kind of leads to like this new dark Marvel cinematic universe that we're getting with like Blade and Moon Knight and Werewolf by Night, this sort of like paranormal Avengers. Eventually we'll get Ghost Rider, and I mean, I guess technically eventually we'll get Blade. We haven't gotten him yet. But I want to know, like, are we ever going to see the devil in Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Well, closest thing, we spent the entire Loki show thinking that Mephisto was going to show up, and he didn't.
True, yeah. Well, and
there were all these hints.
Yeah, maybe is Mephisto the devil? Are we going to find out that maybe the Hellcat that we get in the Marvel Universe will be sort of more comic book accurate? I feel like that's the way that Marvel's leaning now. They're like, gone are the days of we don't want to do comic accurate because it's goofy. And here are the days of, no, comic accuracy is like key to pulling in a bigger audience, because you're getting all of the comic book people that didn't like the old stuff because it wasn't accurate. So it'd be interesting to see some sort of, I'm on this, I love Wellington Paranormal. I don't know if you've watched that.
I haven't yet, but I love What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. So Wellington Paranormal, great show. It's a New Zealand show, so it's like 8 episodes a season, I think, or 6 episodes a season. They're kind of short.
And the best accents on the planet.
Yes. it is by Taika Waititi. So for anyone out there, I guess we'll start from the beginning. Anyone out there who has seen Thor Love and Thunder or what was the other one he did? No, that was it, right?
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok. That's right. If you've seen those two movies, then you're familiar with Taika Waititi as a director. He also did What We Do in the Shadows, both the movie and the show. He's also done some other things like Hunt for the Wilder People.
Jojo Rabbit.
Yes, Jojo Rabbit. And usually he's in all of the stuff that he does. So, but if you've watched the original movie, What We Do in the Shadows, there's two police officers that come in and they're tricking them with vampire mind tricks to like not see bodies and stuff like that. Well, that was such a hit with people that they spun it off into a show, which is on HBO. You can watch, I think it's like 4 seasons. And you basically just follow them, these two police officers, around dealing with all this paranormal stuff. But in that show, we see the devil like 4 times. And I always thought, like, man, how funny would it be if Taika Waititi did like some sort of crossover with What We Do in the Shadows in a Marvel thing? Like, eventually we're going to get vampires, so wouldn't it be real funny just to see the cast of What We Do in the Shadows in the background? I don't know.
Or they just make the same kind of movie but with like Blade and Morbius.
I'd watch that. That'd be great.
I would too. It would make Jared Leto so uncomfortable.
Oh, I don't know if I want Jared Leto back. I don't know if I want Morbius. I want a new Morbius.
I'm torn because obviously it was terrible. But it was terrible in a very uplifting way.
Sure.
It makes me feel better about everything I've ever done in my entire life.
If you want a good laugh, go watch Morbius.
I told Mason I want him to make me a cut of the movie that's just all the scenes with Matt Smith. If he's having a conversation with somebody else, I don't want to see that other person. I just want the parts with Matt Smith.
Oh man. Well, to steer us back to Jessica Jones from this far off tangent that we've taken. We get to the end of this episode and we are, there's still so many questions. I mean, yes, it's only episode 3. But all they have done so far is explain everybody, sort of talk about their relationships. We're not like 100% sure on some relationships. Like, we get a little bit more of Jessica and Trish's relationship in this, and that like they were kind of brought up as sisters, but they haven't talked in a very long time. And Trish wants to help, but Jessica's kind of like a lone wolf. So there's something, somebody's got to give, right, in that relationship at some point. Mm-hmm. Luke and Jessica's relationship, kind of weird and strained, but mostly because she knows she killed his wife, but he doesn't know she killed his wife. Or we don't know that he, like, maybe he does, and we just don't know yet. But that's going on. Kilgrave's still out there doing his creepo thing. So
we see his face in this one.
We do.
Yeah, this is the first time we don't see him, like, from behind or a side profile or in shadow or anything. We actually see his face. Mm-hmm. They've been kind of slow playing us with that. And I think the very first time that we saw him at all was in the first episode, whenever Jessica has this kind of like, I don't know if it was a flashback or just her having like a anxious kind of thought where she imagines that he pops up, says something to her, and licks her face.
Yeah, real gross. Yeah,
horrifying.
I would, even somebody I really liked, like, don't do that. Don't just walk up and lick someone's face. like full lick too. It's not like it's like
No, it's like a dog lick all the way up the face.
Excuse me. So now we kind of we're getting bits and pieces of these stories and relationships, but we haven't figured out how they're all going to coincide and come together. Especially seeing like this sort of build up, like are Jessica and Luke going to have a falling out? Is there going to be some sort of fight between them, or will that, you know, will he believe her about this Kilgrave guy and, you know that it wasn't her fault, or will she ever talk to him about killing his wife? Will that just kind of be swept away and we don't ever talk about it again? Probably not, but we'll find out.
Is it really his business? Does he need to
know? You know, let him believe what he believes.
Yeah, it's just going to dredge up a lot of negative feelings and no one's here for that.
Exactly. So that does it for this week. Join us next time. We'll continue the watch through of Jessica Jones. We're also recording this in the past for the future. Days of Future Past. So be ready for another X-Men episode coming up soon. We're going to be continuing that with X3, The Last Stand. And also, if I'm doing my math right, we will have already done Quantumania. So we're at a weird point now where you as the listener may know more about the Marvel Universe than we know currently, because we haven't seen it yet. But we probably saw it and talked about it last
week.
How
is the
world
different?
See, crazy. We're in the future. Definitely listen to that episode if you haven't already. And if my math is wrong and that episode's not out yet, then definitely keep an eye out for that episode because it will be a doozy. On that note, any last thoughts for this episode?
The thing that stands out the most to me in this episode is the on-air phone call that they make with Hope. And of course, Kilgrave calls them back when they start talking bad about him on what I think is the radio. So that whole scene was wild. And also we have the lawyer lady who, not a nice person, has basically set all this up to help make a case, even if it's not necessarily painting her client in the best light. So, just despicable. Despicable lawyering. Whatever.
A little shady lawyer stuff. It's also weird because, like, later, I mean, again, as someone who has already watched all of these, we know that she comes back and is, like, a bigger character in Daredevil Season 3, I think. And actually Foggy ends up working for her. So it's kind of like this, they're really making Hogarth out to be just like a terrible person. And then later they like try to backpedal a little bit and be like, oh, she's not that bad. She's just trying to help lawyers make money and live in New York. It's like,
she's allowed to be a cheater and a shark.
Right. Yeah. It's fine. Because now we need her to be a little bit nicer. I guess we'll discuss that more once we get to that season of Daredevil. The question for this week will be... I don't know. I don't have one.
If you used to have red hair, what was the experience like? Would you go back to it?
That's a good question. From experience, I have none. So I don't know. I'll try it out.
I was redheaded last summer, and as much as I enjoyed the look of it, I did not enjoy the bleaching process beforehand. So I do not know.
So
I will go back.
No go back. Okay. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what Luke says. He'll be the tiebreaker.
Luke will be like, you know.
All right, well, we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.